From NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. Broadcasting legend Larry King has died. King died this morning at a Los Angeles hospital. He was 87. A statement posted to his Twitter feed gives no cause of death, though King was reportedly hospitalized with COVID-19 earlier this month. NPR's Amy Held reports on King's long career.
In a career spanning six decades, thousands of interviews, and his signature suspenders style, Larry King became appointment television. For 25 years, Larry King Live was a regular stop for presidential campaigns, celebrities, and other newsmakers. King left CNN in 2010 and co-founded a production company. Born in Brooklyn in 1933 as Lawrence Zeiger, King began his career as a DJ in Miami, telling NPR broadcasting was in his blood.
I always wanted to do it. When I was a kid, 5-6 years old, I'd listen to the radio, I'd imitate the announcers. I never wanted to be anything else.
In his later years, King suffered a number of health issues, undergoing surgeries for heart attacks and lung cancer. He founded the Larry King Cardiac Foundation to help those without insurance. Amy Held, NPR News.
To Moscow now, where police are detaining people in Pushkin Square amid protests in dozens of Russian cities in support of the jailed Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny. The BBC's Sarah Rainsford is in Moscow and reports they are pulling mainly young men from the crowd.
Police are circling in packs, swooping on anyone they even suspect is here to support Alexei Navalny. Those people are then dragged quickly towards police vans. Thousands of protesters have been gathering and marching in cities across Russia today, responding to Mr. Navalny's call to resist and protest for the sake of a better Russia and for their own future. The opposition politician, who was first poisoned and is now in custody, could be facing several years in prison. So this day of demonstrations is an important test of how angry Russians are and how ready to make their voices heard.
To China now, exactly a year ago today, the Chinese city of Wuhan went into lockdown. And for the next 76 days, the city's 11 million residents were shut inside their homes to contain the coronavirus pandemic. NPR's Emily Fang spent the last few days in Wuhan to get a sense of the city 1 year on.
A year ago, Wuhan streets were deserted, its hospitals overcrowded. Now life is nearly back to normal, though large gatherings are still forbidden. Many residents are proud Wuhan took strict measures early on. Others are angry about how harsh those measures were. Wuhan is celebrating months without a single new coronavirus case, although dozens of new cases appear in at least three provinces across China. The state has also arrested or vilified anyone with the slightest criticism of China's early mishaps in containing the virus. One blogger, Fang Bin, who documented the early, desperate days of the lockdown, has simply gone missing after being arrested. Emily Fang, NPR News, Beijing.
This is NPR. Opening arguments in the Senate impeachment trial of former President Trump will begin the week of February 8th. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer announced the schedule late yesterday, agreeing to a delay to allow both sides to prepare while the Senate works on cabinet nomination and President Biden's COVID relief package. California's Department of Justice has launched a sweeping civil rights investigation into the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Robert Garova, member station KPCC, reports.
California Attorney General Javier Becerra said the inquiry comes after credible reports of excessive force, retaliation, and other misconduct at the Sheriff's Department.
It's aimed at identifying and addressing potential systemic violations of the rights of the people of LA County.
The inquiry is also a response to what the Department of Justice sees as a lack of sustained oversight of the Sheriff's Department. In a written statement, Sheriff Alex Villanueva welcomed the inquiry. The sheriff has come under fire from critics for a variety of issues, including his approach to deputy discipline, secret deputy cliques, and transparency. For NPR News, I'm Robert Garova.
Canada's foreign minister says it is, the foreign ministry says it's been given consular access to former Canadian diplomat Michael Kovrig. The ministry says officials led by Ambassador Dominic Barton met with Kovrig online this week. Kovrig and a Canadian businessman have been held in China for more than 2 years in a case related to the Chinese telecom giant Huawei. They were detained just days after Canada detained Huawei executive Meng Wanzhou. She is wanted in the U.S. on fraud charges and is fighting extradition. This is NPR News.